Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. The Bible says, stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. Amen. By praying what? In the Holy Spirit. Amen. Building your most holy faith. Too much flesh. Too much assumption. Not enough revelation. With revelation, there's always confirmation. If there's no confirmation of a revelation, then it's not revelation. Hello? And the devil wants to steal every revelation that you've gotten. Does anybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Let me repeat that again. When God gives you a revelation, if there's not a confirmation, then it's not God who gave you the revelation. And the devil wants to steal every revelation that is from God. Amen? That's his purpose. That's his job. Losing your revelation is like losing vision, focus, purpose, destiny, and call. What the devil always wants to do is replace the revelation. There's an exchange. God imparts revelation to us. But without confirmation, it's not a revelation. Do you understand that? Many of us get revelations, but they're not God. Because if there's not confirmation, it's not a revelation. Amen? And we get confirmations from two major areas, the offices of the body of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. Hello? And of course, through the Word of God. That's why God places officers and so forth in the body of Christ, doesn't he? That's why there's offices. Amen? The Bible tells us that there are offices. What? For the building and equipping of the body of Christ, isn't it? It's not about a man, it's about God's office, isn't it? Hello? Is everybody with me? Praise God. Now remember, the devil wants to steal the revelations that are from God. He wants to exchange them. Hello? He wants to exchange them. And a revelation is something of a purpose. In other words, it's a purpose from God for me and you, isn't it? Amen? God gives you a revelation, you get that confirmation, and you get that sealed confirmation that you know that you know that you know, then the devil's going to try and come and exchange it. He's going to try and exchange it for something from him. Remember, he loves to interpret, false interpret. He likes to interpret what your revelation is to you. So you may get a revelation from God, but you didn't get confirmation because the interpretation you got is not correct. Does everybody understand that? And let me share something with you. There's a war going on. And it's continuous. And your fight today is harder than it was yesterday. And it'll be easier today than it will be tomorrow. It's increasing more, more, and more. Time is running out, and you're going to be hearing this almost every time. Amen. Time's running out. God is exposing, healing, delivering, and positioning. You're either going to become a disciple and used by God, or you won't be. Amen? We want to come from that arena from believer to disciple. Now the devil comes and steals that revelation. Amen? The one that is truly from God, that there has been confirmation upon confirmation. That one is truly from God. Now remember, you may get a revelation that has been misinterpreted. See, we have a tendency, even the devil knows when you get a revelation from God and he begins to twist it around. That's because of the spirit of manipulation. Amen? He begins to twist it around. Does everybody understand that? He begins to twist it around, and what happens is he's already made the exchange of the revelation of God, and he's twisted it around and give you something else. That's why it's so important to be in fellowship, isn't it? That's why it's so important to have a prayer life. That's why it's so important to be submissive. That's why it's very important. Amen? Would you turn to Psalm 36? Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 36. All to God be the glory. Would you read the first four verses with me? Psalm 36. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. Now, transgressions are what? Wicked. Amen? Those are active, movable, action, sin. Remember, sin is the association with the presence of evil. A transgression is to move on it. And what does it say? There is what? No fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. In other words, he does not hate evil. Understand this. This is one of the things that happens when somebody's revelation is stolen from them and they don't even realize it. First thing that happens is there's no fear of God. Why? Because they begin to move on the revelation that is not of God. Does everybody understand that? In other words, people move an assumption instead of what God has said. They move by what they feel. They move by what they need instead of what God has said. Everybody, the Bible says that the Lord knows our needs, doesn't he? Amen? He knows our needs and he makes way for us. He says if he can take care of the birds in the air, he can take care of me and you much better. And he says if the world thinks that way, the world moves in that arena. Amen? The world moves that way, but how much better and how much more will he meet our needs according to his riches and glory and far above all we could ever ask or think, knowing that we are his children and his servants. Much better. Much more. But we have a tendency that when the revelation, when the devil begins to exchange or remove that revelation, we begin to move in our own strength. Sometimes we're trying to fulfill a revelation that's not even from God or that was from God that was misinterpreted. And what happens is any works of the flesh is sin. All works of the flesh is sin. Does everybody understand it? All works of the flesh is sin. The Bible says, flesh shall have no what? Glory. So what happens is we become in an area, I want to say complacent, where we begin to lose the reverence and the fear of God by a decision that we make. You know, David said something very powerful, that the Lord was always before him. Amen? And in fact, he even said that the Lord was on his right-hand side. He always acknowledged that the Lord was there. And every decision and everything that he did, God's presence was there. See, if we don't have that acknowledgement and that revelation, that means that we've lost the reverence and fear of God. And when we do, we are considered wicked. Why? Because we're not walking in the Spirit. We're walking in the what? Flesh. Flesh is sin. Works of the flesh is sin. In fact, the Bible says that if you continue to practice the works of the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, that's the Word of God. So it begins to lose fear, reverence of God, makes excuses, flatters. Flatteries are lies. Flatteries are lies. It says, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, makes excuses, justifies, compromises. Well, this, well, that, what else, you know? Begins to lie to himself. Loses sight from the wisdom of God. It says this here. It says, hallelujah. He has ceased to be what? In verse 3. He has ceased to be what? Wise. Wisdom is what you do with what God has given you. He has ceased to be wise and to what? Do good. To do good. Why? Because he's now moving in the flesh, isn't he? The wisdom is not there. It's been exchanged. It's been exchanged for the worldly wisdom. It's been exchanged by the common sense. It's been exchanged by one selfish need. It's been exchanged. And when that happens, the devil has access to us every time. Because what we say is, we're not trusting you. Oh, we can say we trust you, but not trust him. Amen? But not truly trust him. He loses the sight from the wisdom of God, loses sight of it. Continues until exposed, destruction, caught, whatever it may be. Amen? Until it's finally come to a point where there's no more walls left. There's no more escape left. God exposes. And that's what God's doing in his church right now. He's exposing in every area. He's exposing. Why? Because he's coming back for a blemish-free church, isn't he? Exposure. Go to John 10:10. Everybody knows this verse. Remember, revelation is like losing your vision, focus, purpose, destiny, and call. I'm going to say that again. Because everything that God gives you of revelation is for his purpose, for a part of your destiny. All right, amen? So that we have focus. And it's a part of our calling. Everything that involves revelation from a God is a part of your destiny. It's a part of your calling. It's a part of purpose. It's a part of vision. It's a part of focus. Does everybody understand that? It's important. Because see, what the devil wants to do, he likes to come in through the back door. Amen? He tiptoes through, sneaks in that back door and says, "Hi, I'm the Holy Spirit." Let me take that revelation. Because now the person will know whether there's been enough confirmation to know that's a revelation from God. Somebody might get a revelation and just say, "Oh, that's God," and move on it when it really wasn't. And then we know that the end result is disaster. Could be destruction. Amen? But God, out of his mercy and grace, sometimes when we run on something, we either lose everything, go back into captivity, get caught, sometimes destroyed. But out of his mercy, he rescues us, doesn't he? Amen. And John 10 and verse 10, would you read it with me? It says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, listen, without revelation, which is a part of your destiny, purpose, and vision, you will not have life abundantly. Now, you know what? There's times when we get complacent and think, "Well, this is a wonderful life God has given me right now." But see, he's trying to bring something more. And then people will get caught up in an area where they're not willing to want to grow anymore. They stay stagnant, thinking that this is where God has placed them, and they've made it. And that is a revelation from hell. There's been exchange, hasn't there? There's been an exchange from growing to an exchange from complacency, compromise. And it happens when an individual doesn't even know it. And then all of a sudden they become to get stale. They get stale. They call it boredom. "I'm bored." Well, the only reason why somebody's bored is because they're not seeking themselves. They're not going where they're supposed to be. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And what happens, and then the devil comes and exchanges things and begins to replace it with things of the world. The carnal mind. The carnal mind. The carnal desires. The carnal decision. The carnal lust. Oh, hallelujah. The devil steals. What does he steal? Revelation. Losing revelation can alter your destination. Losing the revelation can alter your destination. Remember, revelations are a part of your destination. They're a part of your purpose, aren't they? So losing revelation can alter your destination. Amen? Go to Proverbs 29. Oh, hallelujah. You know, did you ever get into an area where you get revelation that God has told you to do something? And you got confirmation upon confirmation, and you know that you know that you know. You've got it from the office, you know this, that, whatever. And then all of a sudden, something begins to change. Well, things just don't seem to be going the way you want them to. And then the devil begins to work, just like a snake. He begins to wither in. He begins to bite. Begins to drop some venom and corruptible seeds. And he says, you know, maybe this isn't what you're supposed to do. It's just like how he talked to Eve. You know, what's he start doing? He starts planting these seeds of discouragement. He's trying to exchange the revelation because he knows that that is a part of your destination. And what happens is then he moves you out of position. And you get involved in another arena or whatever, and you realize, you know what? And of course then we make excuses why we're in this other place. Well, it must have been God's will that I went to jail. It must have been God's will that I had to lose everything. It must have been God's will that I had to jump from 14 different churches to get back to the one God told me to. No, it wasn't. It was God testing you to see if you were going to hold on to what he gave you from the beginning. See, you earn his trust by those things, because people get moved out by emotion. They get moved out by feeling. They get moved out by the lie of boredom. They get moved out when God is trying to really allow that individual or individuals in the body of Christ to wait on God. And they can't wait. They must go forward. And I'm going to share something with you about the spirit of Babylon. Not yet. But that's what begins to happen. There's an exchange of revelation. In fact, what that revelation that you knew was from God, and that you got confirmation from office and everything else, you could have got it through a dream, a vision, or whatever. And you got that confirmation. Now, I'm not saying that the devil can't give you a dream. Hello? He gives you them every night. But you want confirmation from God, from the office and so forth, that it's of God. But when you know that it is of God, he's going to do his best to try and exchange it with something else, because he knows that that revelation is a part of your destiny. Hello? Praise God. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Would you read it with me? Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. In other words, when they cast off restraints, they let boundaries down or borders down in their life. They let them down because they've lost sight of that revelation. Remember, the devil can exchange that revelation. All of a sudden, you could have this revelation. Now, oh man, I know I'm supposed to serve the Lord. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to be a part of a specific ministry. I'm supposed to do this. Then all of a sudden, something begins to exchange. All of a sudden, the revelation becomes a paycheck. The revelation becomes an opposite sex. The revelation becomes all sorts of other things that could move or twist or turn. When it's not, remember, everything that's not of God's timing is not as of his will, is it? Amen? And that's what God's timing right now is manifesting greatly. You and I must be a part of his timing. He's not a part of our timing. Amen? See, so many people are trying to get God to move in their time, and God's trying to get them to move in his time. And when we begin to do that, that means we've made an exchange. We've lost restraints. We've lost revelation. How many times has God given you a revelation that you knew it was him? And even the simplest one, that there was such encouragement there. Amen? I mean, there was encouragement there. You knew that you knew who you were in Christ, and then that afternoon, it was gone. And you felt like a wet noodle. emotions, spirit of discouragement, and everything else has attacked you. It's like, oh my God, Lord, what happened to that revelation I had? And he's asking you the same thing. What happened to that revelation I gave you? You allowed the devil to steal it. How many times in prayer did he tell you to do something or unction you to do something? And you just knew that you knew that you knew and you didn't do it. And all of a sudden, oh man, I knew. And you want to kick yourself in the butt. And you go, man, I thought that was me. No, it was God. Unfortunately, the manifestation came too late because you missed it. The manifestation was, oh man, here I go again. Remember, we are in a war. Remember, there's a tremendous fight going on right now. Tremendous. It's getting harder. It's getting harder. But you know what? It's causing more and more people to come back to the Lord, isn't it? It's causing more and more people to get closer to God. Because you know what? They're beginning to learn the reverence of God. The fear of God. You know how many people have come to the Lord after they saw what he just did to New Orleans? You know how many Jonahs that have been out there? Many Jonahs out there. Knowing that they have a call in their life. Knowing that they've been back with the world compromising. And you know what? There is no real true peace. They try to buy it, but they can't get it. They try to work longer hours. They try to hang out with more family members. They try to do this, but they just can't get that peace because they're not fulfilling the will of God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Casting off restraints, letting boundaries down, and the devil in. In other words, let's say you had revelation of conviction. Amen? You knew God was saying something to you. You could have a revelation of counsel. You can have a revelation of a direction or an interpretation of a dream or a vision. You can have a revelation of a purpose or even a purchase. Amen? You can have a revelation of a purchase or even giving. When the Lord tells you to give. I mean, the Lord shared with me one time, I want you to give a large amount of money. I was like, whoa. And he gave me confirmation. And I waited on his time. In other words, he prepared me. I knew that I knew that I knew I had to do it. And I wanted to know when. So I looked for how to fulfill that finance. In other words, how he wanted me to fulfill it. And he began to share with me what I was supposed to do to fulfill it. And he said he would bless me when I did it. Because he knew that it was not a part of giving of my precious. I mean, it was not a part of, it was a part of my giving of precious. Precious means that you're not giving of your tithe or your offering. It's beyond that. It's what you don't have, what you're giving. That's called your precious. Hello? It's the money that God gave you to do other things with or made way. And it's like, man, Lord, if I give this up, how am I going to do this? And he said, that's where you got to trust me. If this is what he's told you to do, when he tells you to give something up, like I said, you get a revelation of giving, a revelation of purchase. Maybe he's told you to buy a car for somebody or do this or whatever. And you're still waiting. Well, Lord, I just don't know. But he supplies the seed for the sower, doesn't he? He makes a way. See, the thing is so many times we're expecting God to just, you know, drop something out of the sky. I'm not saying it can't happen. But he uses man to go get what needs to get done, doesn't he? The whole thing is we've got to move on his time. So we've got to have revelation in these areas. We have to have confirmation in these areas so that we know that it's truly of God. Or when we lose these restraints, the devil has access to us. So many people give up. They just, I'll let it go. And they begin to get angry with God. Why have you done? They begin to blame God. And it's not God. It's us. It's us. Why? Because he gave us that impartation. He gave, we just allow that exchange to be gone. So we let a revelation of joy and happiness, an impartation of peace, be exchanged with torment. Be exchanged. and we begin to go back instead of forward. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you, you know, how many times did God give you a revelation that you need to wait on Him? Wait, He says. Wait. And you get counsel from the office, and the Holy Spirit says, wait. You talk to a brother or sister, and it's, wait. I can't wait any longer. Wait. Well, see, what you just did is you exchanged the revelation. Amen. Exchange the revelation. When you exchange the revelation, you exchange it for the revelation of the enemy. The Bible says, make no place for the enemy. The devil steals obedience. He steals it. The devil steals obedience. He steals your first love. He steals it. How does he do that? Through revelation. His revelation. Amen. It's called false revelation, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Everybody all right? Second Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24, would you read it with me? A servant of the Lord, a what? A servant of the Lord. How many of y'all are servants of the Lord? Praise God, then he's telling us all. A servant of the Lord must not what? Quarrel. But be gentle to all, able to teach. In other words, be an example. Patient, in other words, endure. In humility, in other words, submit. Correcting those who are in opposition. Listen, you got no right to correct anyone until you're in this order. You got no right to correct anyone else until you are finally in submission, until you're in humility, until you're able to teach and be patient and endure. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may what? Know the truth, and that they may what? Come to their senses. And escape what? The snare of the devil. Having been taken captive by him to do whose will? His will. A servant of the Lord, not quarrel, be gentle, teach, be an example. Be patient to be able to endure and to wait on God. Amen? To be humble is a representation of submission. Not correcting others until you're right or able to receive correction yourself. Now, you know, we know that when we begin to go out of line or this exchange begins to happen, we thank God for the blood because we can come to an area where we can what? Repent. Amen? Repent. Now, let me share something with you. Until repentance is manifested in you and you know, either you repent or He exposes. He'll expose you personally and privately, but if you're not willing to repent and turn from it, He's going to expose you openly. And if you go from the first stage to the second stage, you've lost the trust of God. And you have to re-earn it again. Everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Does He still love you? Of course. I love my daughter. But if I gave her a crayon and she started writing all over the wall instead of on the paper, she would lose my trust in me giving her that crayon again. Amen? Until she matured a little bit more. Until she was submissive, obedient. She might have had a revelation of drawing a picture. The problem is that the devil exchanged it from the paper to the wall. Little flesh creatures. Revelation chapter 2, first verse, 7 verses. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Read it with me, please. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be what? Liars. You have persevered and have patience, have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Oh, man, this sounds like a powerful place. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Wow. They've exchanged. The powers of darkness have brought a revelation that everything is more important than your first love. In fact, they try to convince you that by what you're doing, hello, is expressing yourself as your first, to your first love, instead of being with your first love. Does everybody understand that? Except for being with your first love. Your first love is the Lord. Always will be. Must be. Nothing else should matter but your relationship with Him. Not your bank account. Not your job. Not your family. Nothing else but Him. You must maintain a first love relationship with Him. And the only way to do that is to be humble, to be submissive. Three-letter word is to continue to die to self. Amen? Can't lose your first love. And that's what he was telling them. He says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Okay, remember where that exchange is. Remember where you've fallen from. And what does he say? Repent and do the first works. Go back and do the original first thing that I've told you to. Why? Because revelation has been stolen, hasn't it? And something else has been in place of it. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you what? Repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Oh, hallelujah. Losing first love, repent. Amen? Repent. Go to 2 Corinthians 7. Every one of us has allowed a revelation to be stolen and exchanged in this room. Every one of us. But if we don't get discernment on this, if we don't get revelation on this, we'll continue to allow the devil to steal them. The Lord wants us to know our enemy's nature. Second Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 8. Would you read it with me? For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I did not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceived that some epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. In other words, Paul was chastening. He was correcting. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to what? Repentance. For you were made sorry in godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces what? Death. For observe this very thing, that you were sorry in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation. What fear. What vehement. What desire. Yeah. What zeal. What vindication. In all things, you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Praise God. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. In other words, you repent before he exposes you. Amen? Now, human sorrow, is everybody with me? Human sorrow, when somebody is what we call human sorrow, it's because it's already been exposed. What's been exposed is human sorrow. Now that human sorrow can turn into godly sorrow, But it takes a period of time, doesn't it? Did you ever notice that when you did something or whatever, and all of a sudden it's like, man, you blew it, and it was exposed and whatever, and you were fighting with it the whole time, and you didn't turn when you were supposed to turn, and there was that God was offering godly sorrow, which comes to what? Repentance. Human sorrow ends up in exposure. There's a difference. When the exposure comes, it's not godly sorrow. Godly sorrow comes after it. First, it's human sorrow. Does everybody understand that? And in that period of time, there's a reaping, isn't there? Because when God allows you, by the time it takes you from the action to repent, that's how much you reap. And there's a reaping involved. Well, some of the reaping, of course, the worst reaping that we can do is losing the trust of the Lord. That's the worst reaping. Of course, we know that it brings shame to the name of the Lord and so forth. Well, how did this come about? Because of a revelation that was stolen. A revelation exchange. So everybody got it. Something that was taken, that God had imparted. Anything to try to move you out of your destiny. Now, oh, hallelujah. Now listen to this. Human sorrow can turn into godly sorrow after the revelation is restored. Has everybody got that? Listen, it's very important. Human sorrow can turn into godly sorrow after the revelation is restored. What's the revelation? The revelation that God first gave you. It's like returning back to your what? First love. Amen? The blood, of course, we know goes before the spirit. Well, everybody knows that Satan's greatest weapon is deception. So we must discern the nature of the enemy. We must discern the enemy's nature. Then attack. If you cannot discern the enemy's character or nature, you will not know how to attack. And you'll continue just think that it's just a part of you. That's just a part of everyday life. It just happens to everybody. Yes, it does. But it's not supposed to happen to you. To prevent your revelation from being stolen, you must get a deeper revelation of Christ's nature and your enemy's nature. Amen? Praise God. Turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Hallelujah. In verse 12. Now, the Lord told Abraham to kill his kid. It's real simple. He said, I want you to offer up Isaac to me. Now, Isaac was a promised seed. So, Abraham already had revelation that Isaac was the promised seed. Amen? Now, if he didn't hold on to that revelation, he would have probably grabbed that kid and ran. But see, God told him that he was the promised seed. Abraham would have done anything for God. Even if Abraham had to kill his son, he knew that that was the promised seed. God would have risen from the dead. Why? Because he had revelation that he was the promised seed. It didn't matter what God told him to do. He was going to do it because he knew that he was the promised seed. He held on to it no matter what. In verse 12, and he said, do not lay your... But the angel of the Lord came on verse 11, called him from heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For I now know that you fear or reverence God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went up and took the ram and offered it up for as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be what? Provided. Revelation. Now, let me share something real quick. When you begin to understand the Lord's character or His nature, in fact, a part of His nature is expressed by certain names that He has, and I'm not going to go into the names of the Lord. But we know that the Lord is our provider, isn't He? He is our deliverer. He is our healer. He is our counselor. And so forth. Amen? He is our what? Peace. And there's all sorts of names for God. When you begin to really get the revelation of the Lord's nature, of who He really is, you know that everything is available to you. You won't struggle and fight to try to prove yourself. You won't struggle and fight. Your fight will be in the spirit realm, and you'll walk in the earth. Your fight will be spiritually, and you'll walk on the earth. Has everybody got it? You'll walk free. Praise God. So as we begin to understand God's nature and His character, we begin to get revelation of His names and who He truly is. You know, we quote the Scriptures, "Lord, thank You for supplying all of my needs according to Your riches and glory. Thank You for healing. Thank You." But you know what? Sometimes those are just words. Because they're really not a revelation of His nature. He says it's His desire to give us the kingdom. It says it's His desire to heal us. It says it's His desire. You know, but sometimes we just are not in that place and position to get that revelation of His nature. And only through experiences in your life will you be able to get those revelations of His name and His nature. That's why He brings us through things. How are you going to know He's truly your provider unless you don't, if you don't get in a place of need? He makes it so that nobody else can help you, only Him. No, only Him. And then He tests you on everything. Everything you learn, He tests you on. You know, we all cry, "Lord, I want to serve You. Lord, use me to raise the dead. Use me to heal. Use me. Use me for whatever." And somebody walks by you and he says, "Pray for me." "Oh, out here in public?" "Can't we do this on a Friday night service?" "Don't we need to get a sound system out here? Hold on, the restaurant, everybody. Let me get some jamming going here. And as the anointing comes, I'll pray for you." It doesn't work that way. Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 8. Glory to God. You know, everyone here has gotten revelation that time is short. Amen? Don't let it be exchanged. Don't let it be exchanged. Don't worry about putting all your money in the bank account and saving it for whatever. I had a guy today call me because we're trying to do some stuff to refinance stuff and get more funds so we can do more things for the kingdom. And he said to me, "Well, do you have a savings account?" "What?" He said, "Do you have any stocks and bonds?" "Praise God. Do I have any stocks and bonds?" "Yeah, I got stock in heaven. I'm riches and glory." "Well, do you have this? Do you have that?" I remember one time I filled out an application. They wanted 3 references. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Really? I was at this place trying to order some juice bowl. Yeah, I was at juice bowl telling them that God had sent me to They were supposed to build a product for me and can it and so forth, and it was going to cost them thousands of dollars. And they said, well, do you have any references? Sure, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, what do you want? Better reference can you have than that? They did it. They did it, and I didn't have to put a dime down. Second day air, right to my house. Glory to God. I had revelation. I knew, and confirmation. I knew that I knew. And then I waited. And when the Lord said, go, I went. And he went before me. It was like, in the spirit realm, it was like the demons and the powers of darkness was just pushed aside, till I was brought right to that man's desk. And the presence of God filled that room. He didn't know how I got in there, either did I. But I did. And when I told him that his multi-billion dollar company that God had sent me, 145 pounds soaking wet, God sent me to tell him he's got to produce a product for the King of Glory. He was a little shaken. In fact, he had to call somebody else in the room. Now tell her what you told me, and I did. She agreed. She was a believer. Praise God. And I'm telling you, the whole place changed around. They started producing the Word of God on their assembly lines. Oh, to God be the glory. Where did I say to go? John 8, verse 43. Jesus said, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. They didn't get revelation, did they? You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So many times, how many times have you been lied to? Amen? Everybody, how many times have you heard a voice that has lied to you? Well, you know what? It's the voice of a demon. It's the voice of the stranger. Remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood. Why is God allowing these things to happen? So that you begin to learn the nature of your enemy. Let me tell you, there's not enough revelation in the body of Christ of the nature of their enemy. There just isn't. Too many people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Too many people are being moved out of the position. Too many people's destinies are being altered and changed. Now, we know that all things work to the good, don't they? To those who love the Lord and are called to His purpose. Amen? And we can't just use that excuse for every dumb thing we do. Oh, the Word says all things work to the good. So just do dumb things all day long and all things will work to the good. No, they won't. Amen? So we see here that the devil, his name right here is liar. So you can tell the demon by its fruits, and that's what his name is. Manipulation, lying, deception, fear, whatever it is. What are you doing? You're learning his nature. You're learning his nature. And we must learn his nature constantly. Every day. Every day you're going to learn something more about your enemy and something more about your Savior. Hallelujah. He's known as the father of lies. See, your attack must be against the strongholds of hell. And how is it done that way? Your attack is only in the area of your knowledge. That's with how you can attack. You can't attack on something you don't know. Your attack is only good as how much you know. There are people out there that still don't know how to bind and loose. In fact, there are people out there that have been taught how to bind and loose and still don't use it. Those are called the keys. They just go around their merry way every day and they wonder why they're not progressing with their backsliding. because they're not warring, they're not fighting. Your attack against the stronghold of the enemy will be in the area of your knowledge, and Satan's counterattack are areas of your ignorance and deception. Satan's counterattack are your areas of ignorance and deception. And your attack on him is on your knowledge and what you know. How many times have you gotten revelation? You said, oh Lord, open the door that's of you and shut the door that's not. And the door shuts and you just keep trying to open it up. Come on, I know I'm supposed to fight. The next thing you know, you're in the flesh. I remember one time my wife and I were traveling home. And we prayed. And we were traveling and I said, we were choosing what hotel to go into. And I said, Lord, open the door that's you and shut the door that's not. I don't know if I shared this with you or not. And we got all the luggage and whatever. Kate went and got the key, brought it up to the room, put the key in the door, and the thing spun. Wouldn't open. We finally just looked at each other and said, oh, yeah, we just prayed. Shut the door that's not of you. Man, we pulled that key out. One got our, she took our money back, whatever. We got back in the car, went down about another mile, went into another hotel. Well, that door opened, nice king-size bed. All, I mean, beautiful place, almost half the price. So the Lord opened the door that was him and shut the door that wasn't. But how many times do we get revelation? Oh, Lord, please open the door. That's you, and shut the door that's not. And the door opens, that's him, and we're afraid to go through. What happened? The devil stole that revelation, didn't he? Amen. He's not stupid. Psalm 18. Hallelujah. Psalm 18. Glory to God. Is everybody okay? Psalm 18 and verse 34. Would you read it with me? It says what? He teaches my hands to what? Make war. So that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. What's he teaching you? He's teaching you warfare. But understand this. He's training us, isn't he? He's training our hands for battle. He's training our tongue for battle. Training comes by being led by the Spirit. That's training. Being taught is like reading the Word. See, we can come in a classroom and get taught. When you leave the classroom, you're in training. That's the difference between the tutor and the mentor. The Word is the tutor, the Holy Spirit is the mentor. Why? Because the mentor is training you. The tutor is teaching you. There's a difference. Training is putting the teaching in action. And that's what the Lord is saying here. He's saying, listen, he's what? Training my hands to what? War. Well, training your hands to war is not writing all day long. Amen? So we are taught, and then we are trained. That's where we become from a believer to a disciple. Believers are being taught. Amen? Believers are being taught, and they're slowly being what? Trained. And the disciple is using it. He's manifesting the kingdom of God. Go to Genesis 11. All to God be the glory. Genesis 11. Verses 1 through 4. Everybody there? Oh, to God be the glory. Genesis 11, 1 through 4. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a place in the land of Shinar, which is known as Babylon. And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. So they were advanced, weren't they? They were wealthy. They were advanced. They knew how to build. No. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a what? A name for ourselves. That always has to be associated with the spirit of Babylon. Let us be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. What were they trying to do? Make a what? Name for themselves. The spirit of Babylon is the spirit of compromise. Compromise with the world. Compromise in our heart opens the door to the beast. Self-exaltation is a source of compromise. What were they doing? They're building for themselves. That's religion. It was a religious city. This spirit is in the church now. It honors God. Now listen, it honors the God of heaven with no earthly relationship. What does it do? It honors the God of heaven with no earthly relationship. That's the spirit of Babylon. Does everybody understand that? It honors the God of heaven, but it does not have a relationship here on the earth. It goes through the rituals, but it doesn't have a relationship here on the earth. That's the spirit of Babylon. Why? What does religion do? It brings people into bondage, doesn't it? See, if you don't have a relationship here on earth, you're still doing your will. We still grumble, complain, do this, accuse, do that, whatever, manipulate. Still fighting for our life. You know why? Because there really, truly isn't that revelation of relationship. And that's what God is trying to bring us to. The spirit of Babylon honors the God of heaven, but has no relationship with him on the earth. And you know what? You see it all over, don't you? If we could walk through the whole body of Christ, you'd see a bunch of it, wouldn't you? You'd see the spirit of Babylon interfering. I know individuals, when they come into this place, I see that spirit of Babylon on them right away. Jailhouse religion. Quote the scriptures, can't walk it. Honor the God of heaven, but have no relationship with him on the earth. They don't have that revelation. The devil keeps stealing that revelation from them about that relationship. They're more in love with the letter than they are with the person. But they will honor the person in heaven, but have no relation. See, because where there's relationship on the earth, there's obedience. Where there's relationship on the earth, there's submission. Where there's relationship on the earth, you're not first. There's not self-exaltation. Where there's relationship on the earth, it's no longer you that live, but him that lives. Amen? Where there's relationship on the earth, you're no longer first. Your purpose is to expand the kingdom of God and do whatever it takes. Other than that, man just honors the God of heaven. He has no relationship with him on the earth. That is the spirit of Babylon. Amen? Everybody got it? Amen. Go to Revelation 18. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 18 and verse 4 through 8. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her! Come out of her! My people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she renders to you, and repay her double according to her works, in the cup which she has mixed double for her. Ooh. in a measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now we know it wasn't with fire, but it was with a flood. New Orleans exists in the spirit of Babylon and was destroyed. Now they're trying to rebuild it. I don't believe it can be. And I don't believe God's going to allow it. I don't believe it. New Orleans, spirit of Babylon, remember your revelation isn't truly stolen. It's given. You give it. You give it. You make it for the exchange because the devil convinces you that something is better and you don't even realize it. It's given, exchanged, or compromised. Go to Ezekiel 18. Hang with me for a couple more minutes, please. Ezekiel 18. Oh, to God be the glory. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Ezekiel 18 and verse 29. Yet, the house of Israel says the way of the Lord is not fair. How many times does the devil tell you, man, this just isn't fair? He's trying, hey, listen, that's a sign right there. He's trying to steal their revelation. The way of the Lord is not fair, O house of Israel. Is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all of your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and what? Live. So what is he saying? Repent. Get a new heart. Everyone, that's the beauty of being a child of God. We have an opportunity to repent, get a new heart, and get a new spirit. Now go to Judges 13. And why did it happen? The revelation was stolen, wasn't it? Judges 13. Hallelujah. Judges 13. Starting at verse 1. Judges 13, starting at verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the what? Hand of the Philistines for how many years?
40 years.
There goes that 40 again, isn't it? Now there was a certain man from Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink or not eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. So God was sending a deliverer, wasn't he? Did she get revelation of that? You betcha. Did she drink wine or eat unclean things? No. No, because she held on to that, didn't she? She held on to that revelation. She knew that she was going to bear a son that was going to deliver them out from the captivity of the Philistines. Why did they go into captivity? Because they sinned before God. They did evil. Everybody who does that goes into captivity, don't they? Hallelujah. Go to chapter 16. Of course, his name was Samson, wasn't it? Now, in verse 1, it says, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. You think Samson lost his revelation?
Yeah.
And what happened? It changed his destiny, didn't it? It changed everything. You can read these chapters. It's very powerful. Go to verse 21. Now we know that Samson fell in love and lust with Delilah, and she tricked him, right? Why? Because he lost his revelation. He lost his purpose. He became prideful. Got religious. Spirit of Babylon. In verse 21. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. Now they were exalting their gods, weren't they? When people lose revelation, the enemy gets exalted. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. Samson was now a performer for the enemy. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between pillars. And Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men and women on the roof were watching while Samson performed. So he was performing, wasn't he? Of course, and this was Samson's last feat of performance. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray, strengthen me. I pray just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. So Samson was taking vengeance for his two eyes. He still lost revelation. His whole purpose was to destroy the Philistines, to remove the Israelites from captivity. It didn't happen. He lost his destiny. Everything was altered. Why? Because he lost revelation and purpose. And he became a performer for the enemy. Yes, he pushed the pillars out and many people died, but the Israelites were not free. Amen? Go to Numbers 20. Numbers 20. Oh, hallelujah. Now, when the Israelites were in the wilderness and the Lord and they were crying out for water, you know, the Lord told Moses to take a rod and strike the rock and water would come out. And then they continued on their journey. Now the Lord told them again because they were crying out for water. And in verse 7 it says, and the Lord spoke, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together in what? Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water from there out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the Lord, before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Now he was calling them rebels, wasn't he? Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Now what did the Lord tell him to do? Did he lose the revelation? You betcha. It was exchanged for what? He had something he gave him before to do. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me. What do you mean he didn't believe? Because they struck it and did the... Because he knew that if he struck it, water would come out like before. But he said, I don't want you to do it this time. I want you to speak to it. See, he was also trying to impart a revelation. See, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because the word spirit means what? Breath. How do you do that? By speaking. The Old Testament was law. The New Testament was spirit. Amen? But what did he do? He struck it. The Lord spoke to Moses, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And they didn't make it into the promised land, and neither did Moses. But the Lord brought him up to the mountain and said, look, you can see it, but you ain't going. Amen? What happened? Revelation, destiny was changed, wasn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Catherine from the Promised Land, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Losing revelation. We don't want that. Do not make the exchange. Don't compromise it. Don't get sucked up with the spirit of Babylon. Ephesians chapter 4. First four verses. Ephesians 4, first four verses. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to what? Walk what? Worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk what? Worthy. Let me tell you, if you allow the devil to keep stealing revelation, that's not walking worthy. With what? All lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? In the bond of peace. Willing to do whatever it takes in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. 2 Timothy chapter 1. One more scripture. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Is everybody getting this? Glory to God. In verse 8, would you read it with me? Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Whoa! Before time began. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, the first few words is, in the beginning. That means God created time. Because where there's a beginning, there's a what? End. It's the first scripture, isn't it? It says, in the beginning. It says, you were called with a holy calling and purpose before time began. In other words, before the universe began, you were already called. Because the universe was a setting of time. 2 Corinthians 11. We'll close here. Oh, hallelujah. Hold fast. Hold fast. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. The last scripture was 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 14, but we didn't go all the way. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That there was what? Simplicity. The simplicity. God is not the author of confusion, is he? There's a simplicity in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit or revelation, hello, which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. You may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not all inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. Amen? I am not in what? Knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Amen? So don't lose the simplicity of Christ in this arena. Because there is a simplicity of Christ. And he's trying to get us to that place where we really acknowledge, know his nature. Know his nature. And know our enemy's nature and character. Amen? Remember, the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal the revelation from you, doesn't he? Or he wants to exchange it for something to snare us. So I just want to encourage everyone, anything that you have been snared with, anything that has been stolen from you, remember the Bible says the devil has to return to you seven times, doesn't he? But see, if you don't know that, you don't go it. You don't go after it, do you? Amen? Why? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, we repent for allowing the devil or making exchange, allowing him to deceive us to make exchange of the revelations that you've given us, Lord. Lord, in any area of revelation that has changed our destiny at all, Lord, we just ask for your forgiveness. We repent, even at this moment, right now. Wash us with the blood. Purge us with your presence. And reestablish us to fulfill the destiny that you have for us now. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.